Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
During the season of Lent, we take a time out of our busy schedules and out of the normal routines of life to do a little bit of self-evaluation. In the life of the church, we have different seasons in the church calendar, much like seasons of our life. We've come out of Christmas and Epiphany, a time of celebrating God's joyful giving of into our lives, and Epiphany is a time of discovery and a time of seeking out God's presence. But during Lent, we kind of take time out from reaching out into the world to kind of look at ourselves, about doing some confrontation about our own journey. And there's several questions that we often wrestle with. We ask ourselves questions like, who has God called us to be? As a Christian, as a disciple, as somebody that has been a part of the life of a church for many years, what is God doing in our lives? What is He calling us to be and to become? How are we growing into the people that God knows that we are and can be? What barriers are we facing, either in ourselves or expectations from others? What are those things that keep us kind of hidden, kind of in the sidelines? Do we feel like we're one of the people that is on the fringe as Jesus is feeding the 5,000? Or are we people that are right there in the midst of it? Right there with one of Jesus' followers. And finally, we need to ask the question of, is there an encounter with Jesus that we've been avoiding throughout the last year? There's something that God wants to reveal to you, a gift that He wants to give, something about who you are and about your life that He's waiting to open and reveal to you, but it's one of those things we like to get fed by Jesus, but we're just not sure we want to go up the mountain with Him. Is there something that's holding you back? These are those confrontations that we have to deal with. One of the struggles that we have, particularly as people in our culture, in our Western society, is dealing with our own brokenness, our own sense of vulnerability, our own sense of needing something more that we can't provide for ourselves. Brokenness is the recognition that we need something. We're not perfect the way that we are. That we can look at ourselves and said, I'm flawed, but thanks be to God, He's doing something in my life. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to his friends in Corinth, often talked about how he celebrated his vulnerability. He said, I will boast about my weaknesses. He said, because when I'm weak, when I know that I'm vulnerable, then it allows the presence of Christ to shine through me. I know when God is using me because I know myself all too well. Lent is a time to say, how well do we know ourselves? I think it was Socrates that once said that an unexamined life is a life not worth living. We have to come to those times to look at ourselves and to take stock. And if we are broken, if there are places in our lives that need mending, then we need to face up to that. The worst thing that we can do is to be broken and to say, I need help, but not admit it to ourselves or to other people, to keep it hidden within ourselves. So this morning, we're going to take a look at a passage where Jesus confronts the brokenness not only of His disciples, but of a man that needs His help and His redemption. And maybe by studying this and looking at this passage, we can get some hope. We can confront who we are. Because God uses the broken people. I love this quote that I found by Vance Havnar. He says that God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a crop. It takes broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, and broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster jar that gives forth its perfume. It is Peter weeping bitterly, who returns to greater power than ever. And the struggle that we will face in our time together and in our Lenten journey is to admit to one another our need, our brokenness, and the centrality of Christ to answer those questions. Will you join with me as we open up God's Word and allow His healing presence to flow forth? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe He has a purpose for my life. Reading from Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 46th verse. Now, when they came to Jericho, he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and he followed him on the way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, may we join together as a community in our present state, healing and being redeemed by the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark presents this at a specific place in the gospel, in the 10th chapter of gospel, and he tells us a number of things in the background that shape how we see this story. Mark tells us that Jesus and his disciples are leaving Jericho. Jericho is a walled city. It was basically a fortress. And as a result of having that, it had gates, central gates that people would come in and out. And that was the way you could seal off the city in the event of an attack. But what it also allowed is that it made sure that all of the traffic flowed through that one location. So what happens? Bartimaeus is at that location. He is a beggar. He's a blind beggar. This is in a time before there are bread lines or there are food pantries. There is a welfare state. If you wanted to survive and you were a Bartimaeus, you had every day to go to that city gate and put your life on the line. Maybe you would get some money, maybe not. But you were at that location where traffic would funnel through. We see that even in our own culture today. You've encountered that, I bet, in some time in your life, where maybe you're driving someplace, you're driving to the mall, or you're driving to Walmart, and there is a stop sign or there is a red light, and wherever traffic comes to a stop, you might find somebody on the side of the road holding up a cardboard sign saying, "I'm homeless, can you spare some change?" Wherever the traffic gathers and stops, people in need will be there. And something begins to happen to us over a period of time. As we begin to look at these people that are holding the signs, something strange begins to happen. Pretty soon, over a period of time, they will begin to fade into the background. They will become a non-entity. They're there, but they're not really there. And Mark draws this out even more in his gospel. Because in his gospel, Bartimaeus has no name. That is not his name. Bartimaeus simply means son of Timaeus. That is not his name. And so this man, this blind man, this beggar, is only known as Timaeus's kid. And we in our own culture do similar kind of things. When we know somebody, we say, "Oh yes, I know them. They're from the family of, they're John's kids, or they're Tammy's boys," or whatever it may be. But he has no name. And even in our own culture, when somebody is blind or they're struggling, they're handicapped, we will often share with them a little kind of postscript to their name, almost as a term of pity and of regret. "Oh, that's Bartimaeus, bless his heart." It's a way of kind of looking down on Bartimaeus. But this is not just about Bartimaeus's story. This is about the central part of our brokenness. We find that in our own journey, God looks for our brokenness. We are already broken. Sin has already done that. If you think back on the last week that you've had, things that you've said to people, maybe things that you've regretted saying, opportunities that you might have had to help and didn't, until we can admit to that brokenness, healing can't really come. Until you begin to feel the sniffles and the sore throat, you don't really know that you're sick, or you won't admit it to yourself. And so God invites us to admit to our brokenness. The psalmists knew that. They tell this story over and over again. In Psalm 51, the psalmist writes, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart you will not despise." Until we can come in our brokenness, we cannot be filled. And so Bartimaeus recognizes his brokenness. He recognizes his desperate need. And as the disciples are leading him in, he begins to cry out. And I wondered why Bartimaeus didn't just stay right where he was. Why did he not accept that he was going to, for the rest of his life, be a blind beggar? What is it that draws him to believe that life can be filled with something more? Why was it? And I think part of it is, and these are the lessons we want to learn, that he learns about giving up those labels. Bartimaeus had been labeled. He's a blind beggar. He has no name. He's Bartimaeus, bless his heart. He's a nobody. He's a non-entity. But he will not live with that label. We, as our own culture, we have also been labeled. You also are dealing with your own labels. Male, female, rich, poor, talented. Whatever those labels are, he wanted to believe that there was something more. And so he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." When we think about our own labels, the things that define us, that keep us centered where we are, are you ready, like Bartimaeus, to stretch beyond and believe that there is something more? Bartimaeus was willing to do that. He was willing to stretch. But Mark does something really interesting. If you read earlier in the gospel, the 10th chapter of Mark tells the same kind of a story, except the women are starting to bring their children to Jesus. And the disciples do the same thing to the children that they've done to Bartimaeus. They sternly warn them not to take them to Jesus. And so Jesus says, he's indignant, and he says, "Let the children come to me." In the story of Bartimaeus, the same thing happens. They sternly warn Bartimaeus. Mark is making the comparison. But Jesus does something radically different that affects all of us. Instead of talking to Bartimaeus, who does he talk to? The disciples. "You guys, you go get him. You go call him." You have to change your brokenness too. You have to enter into his world and draw him into Jesus. Jesus is inviting, but he invites the disciples to become part of this process. In our own stories, we are invited to be partners with Jesus. And what do they tell him? "Take heart, the Master is calling you." That is our mission. That is our story that we have to tell to the world. Take heart, for God is calling you. But we have to partner with God in this story. We have to forget and confront the labels that keep us on the sideline. The next thing that Bartimaeus has to do, and we all have to do, is we have to keep aware of the central question, the big question that is all facing us this morning. Jesus looks Bartimaeus right in the eyes, and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Think about the power of that word this morning. You've come here from your lives, from your busyness, from wherever you've come from, to the sanctuary of God to answer that question. Today, if Jesus is right here, he asks you this question: "What can I do for you? Where do you want to go? What is your brokenness? What healing do you need? Is there anything that I can do for you?" Bartimaeus, his eyes didn't work so well. You've heard that old saying, "There are none so blind as those who will not see." Are we blind too? Is there healing that we need from our bitterness, from our anger, from our self-centeredness, If Jesus is here right now, how do you answer that question? What can I do for you? Maybe in our own culture, we want to say, there's really nothing I need from Jesus. I can pretty much manage on my own. That's the purpose of Lent, to deal with those questions, to face up to the reality. Bartimaeus wants to see, what is it that you need the most? And finally, when healing does come, he says, your faith, your relationship has made you whole. In a little bit, we're going to sing a famous hymn by Fanny Crosby, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. This is the story, this is her hymn that is related to this story of Bartimaeus, bless his heart. And Fanny Crosby, if you know the story, she wrote like 800 hymns. And all of this really came about because she went one day to the doctor, and during a tragic event in her life, the doctor made a mistake and she lost her sight for the rest of her life. And they interviewed her and said, aren't you bitter and angry and resentful about what had happened? And she said, no. She said, actually, it was one of the biggest blessings of my life. It allowed me to turn and see myself as I really was. It allowed me to become the poet and the write hymns and music and to draw out of a deeper well than I ever could have any other way. So healing is not just always about your vision. It's about releasing the anger that is within and seeing the world and its beauty. But you got to give up the labels. This is who you are and this is who you'll ever be. To ask Jesus, this is what I need the most. And finally, to walk by faith, to allow Jesus to follow him. Bartimaeus, bless his heart, eventually was healed. And what did it happen to his life? He started to follow Jesus. I often wonder, in the Passion Week, as all of the people began to fade away, it was Bartimaeus that continued to follow even to the cross. So this morning, as we struggle, what is it that you need most? Where is your greatest brokenness? Because that's where the greatest healing and growth will occur. Let us pray. Father God, we have gathered this morning because you have drawn us as the great physician, work within us by the power of your Spirit to transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.